Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, he thought I was worth saving. He thought I was to die for, that he sacrificed his life so that I could be free, so that I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know, welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. And we thank God for everyone being here. He didn't just die for me, but he died for all of us so that we could be free and that we could be whole. We're just so happy to be on the show today. I tell you, last week we had technical difficulties, and we thought I was going to have some today, but we overcame today. And so we are on here ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're so happy we're winding down our foundational series, and we're on our last topic. And Elder Dodson talked a couple of weeks ago so eloquently about glorification. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord came in. We had such an afterglow, and we were still talking about it probably about 30 minutes later. We were still on talking about glorification. So we're just looking for God to manifest himself again today. And we're looking for the power of God to be shined, to come through the radio, through the broadcast, and just touch those. We hope all of those that need this word will find it, and they will be able to listen to it even now or even later. But we're just so grateful that we have the opportunity to share the word of God with as many people as can hear this broadcast, or many people that will tune in even later in the archives. We're just so blessed and so thankful. And we're coming up on our year celebration, and I'm just so excited about that, because it's a blessing to stay steadfast in what God has told you to do, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it is or who supports it, who don't support it. It's just a blessing to do what God has called you to do and to be faithful to that. So I'm just so excited about it. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move right on into our lesson with Elder Dodson. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. But, Lord, we know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're so glad. Hallelujah. We're just so glad about it, God. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to bless this word, that it will fall on good ground, that all of those will hear it, Lord Jesus, that it will fall on good ground, and that they will be hearers, and not only hearers of your word, but doers of your word also. And, Lord, that they will be willing and obedient, and that they will have faith and work. So we're just so thankful for all that you're doing for us, God, and we ask you, Lord, to bless the word on today, bless Elder Dodson as he delivers the word of God. We're excited about it, and, Lord, we just thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now it's fun.
Yes, just so happy to be on here. And so, Elder Dodson, I'm going to turn it over to you. I don't want to talk too long because I want to get into it, because it was too exciting the last time for us to belabor the time. So we're turning it over now to Elder Ransom Dotson. Amen.
God bless you all. I hope I'm coming through okay. We're just going to revamp just a little bit, you know, of what we went over last time we were together. Our subject is glorification, and we spoke on the definition of it. We spoke also on the breakdown, and we're going to get into it a little bit on this session, speaking about the triple threat to the enemy. Another topic we had was glorification, the Christian's biblical, from a biblical perspective. Of course, that was dealing with 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, talking about the fulfilled glory when we all, you know, get ready to go to heaven. And our question that stemmed from that was, can I experience a type of God's glory from day to day in this life? And, of course, our answer was yes. And then we went into our third topic of discussion dealing with glorification, and I was speaking of the twist on glorification and hope. Now, what we mean by the twist is an understanding that that the Lord gives us that might not just be what you thought it would be, but it's all that God wants it to be. Because when we talk about glory, we do talk about the aspect of glory being celestial, which means it's, it comes from heaven. Now, it is also something that stems from it is elevation. So when we're talking about glory, we're talking about being elevated. We're talking about it being it coming from God. And whatever comes from God, I know you would agree with me, is glorious. And we come to the point of discussion that we want to let you know that God wants you to have glory, and he gives you your glory to perform it, that he might enhance your glory and perform through you. I hope that makes brings some understanding to you. I want to open up by saying I know my esteemed colleagues that are here on the broadcast with me would agree with me. The job of the fivefold ministry is to improve and empower the kingdom of God, the people of God, to walk in and reveal their glory, which is of God, through encouragement, esteeming one another in love, that we all may fulfill the glory of living right. I hope I can get an amen from everyone about that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, this is the twist. The twist we're getting from Genesis 1 and 28, which says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything, every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, saints of God, it is very important to understand that this was given by the authority of God, and it is for you to follow his instructions. And how many know that if God said it, it will surely come to pass, but it is up for you to bring this about. where are we going with this? Well, this is where we're going. If you're going to be fruitful and to multiply, how are you going to do it? Now, many of us equate it with procreation, producing young. But I believe it also means to manifest the fruit of God's glory. Turn with me to Galatians 5, 22 and 26. Galatians 5, 22 and 26. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, when we're talking about manifesting God's glory, of course, we're talking about manifesting the attributes of God, because he's the one that's glorious. So if we're manifesting the fruit of God's glory, this manifestation would be long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The Bible says in the 23rd verse, against such there is no law. What does that all entail? Well, it entails that the Lord, the only way that you can display God's glory through what he has already put in you is to manifest these things: long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. It's part of showing what God is doing through you, and showing what manifesting what God has put in you. Now, also, I want to let you know what it does is it looses a law that God has established for us. We were made to glorify God. And this is a law I've got to let you know about, that when you manifest these things, which are the attributes of God, it looses something in your spirit and in your soul, which is a law that God has already put in your spirit when you come into Christ. It's called the law of reciprocity. Now, when we think of this law, we only think about finances and we think about money. But this is what reciprocity is. It's the practice of exchanging things with others for a mutual benefit, especially privileges granted by one in a country or in an organization to another. And we're pretty much talking about the kingdom of God. Now watch this. It's an exchange for mutual benefit. Who does it benefit? Well, it benefits you, and it benefits God, because you are his workmanship placed upon the earth to bring about his glory. Now, it kind of looks like he wants you to put things in perspective and wants you to look at yourself. Yes, it is a time where you need to look at yourself and how you're treating others, how you're being respectful, to bring forth the glory of God. But watch this. It's a mutual benefit, and it also gives privileges. How many know when you're manifesting God's glory upon the earth that there are privileges that come with that? That God bestows favor upon you and opens doors for you because you are exhibiting what he has placed in you and fulfilling a law that he has placed in you. It also releases this law, the law of reciprocity, also releases your walk, your understanding, and your knowledge in what God has placed before you. Turn with me to Luke 6, 37 and 38. I want to talk to you more about that law. Because I want you to know this, God follows his own laws. And once he has put a law in order, he cannot take it back. It must fulfill what he's put it in order to do. Now, if I can steal a little bit from Elder Poston, God is strategic. He's very order-oriented. And when he does things, he does it specifically to bring about what he had intended for it to do. Now, in Luke 6, 37 and 38, if somebody has that, would you read it for me? That's St. Luke 6, 37 and 38.
Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
What are we talking about? We're talking about the law of reciprocity. Forgiveness is a big part and a big representation of God doing something in you. It is very hard, and you, if you will agree with me, it's very hard to forgive someone when they've done something to you. But to loose this law and to release God's glory in you, how many know you must have a forgiving heart? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And what the law is saying is if you forgive them, this forgiveness is coming right back to you. And what do I call that? I call that you manifesting God's glory and God giving glory back to you. What does it do? Well, it makes it easier to forgive the next time. Do I have a believer on here that believes that?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
It makes it easier for you to forgive the next time. what I see here is God fulfilling what he has placed inside of you. Do you know naturally that there are certain laws in certain countries and certain cities, and they're not all the same, to bring about a government, to bring about structure, oh my God, and to bring about purpose? Don't you know that God gives you glory to bring about a purpose, to govern your soul, to govern your spirit? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, to go back to Genesis 1:28, the Lord wants us to replenish the earth. What does that mean? When you replenish something, it nourishes it back to the state it has fallen from. And I believe the Lord wants us to replenish our spirit and replenish our soul by obeying the word of God and trusting the word of God. We're still talking about glory, and we're talking about God being fulfilled through you glorifying him. Let me say the next word, to subdue, which was in that same Genesis 1:28. The Lord wants us to subdue the earth. Literally, what subdue means, to stamp on. To rule over. What exactly does God want us to rule over? He wants us to rule over our emotions so that we might be effective. And above all, he wants us to rule over our flesh. How many know that you got to walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Turn to Romans 8:4-8, if you would, please. Now, in walking in the Spirit and obeying the laws of God, we are to subdue this flesh so that we can fulfill God's glory. Romans 8, verses 4 and 8. Go ahead.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Mm.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh.
Uh-huh.
But the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded in death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Is life and peace in fulfilling God's glory. what I want you to do is go back to that verse, Elder, if you would, saying where that righteousness is. I believe it said something about in us.
Let's see. Let me go back there. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God
mm-hmm.
did by sending his own son in the likeness of sin. Sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Fulfilled in
us.
Who?
Us.
Fulfilled in us. There is a righteous requirement. And righteousness brings forth glory.
Man.
Righteousness brings forth glory. It's more than just being right standings with God. It's equipping you with the necessary tools to fight the enemy and to fight against those things that the flesh wants to do.
Yes.
I believe with all that is within me that God is bringing us to a place of orchestration where he's orchestrating things in us.
Yes.
To come out. I always say that saints and people of God are attractive. But we're attractive for a reason. We're attractive to bring folks to Christ.
Yes.
And we're attractive to bring forth God's glory.
Yes.
There is no way that, you know how someone gets arrested or something a crime is committed and they do a lineup. There is no way you can put the Lord in a lineup and his glory wouldn't single him out. God wants to single you out.
Yes.
And he does that by us, watch this, I'm going back to that law of reciprocity. When you give glory to God, he gives glory back to you.
Yes.
I believe that in so many cases, we are forgetting to give God glory, and we are taking his glory, and when we do that, we don't get the glory that God has to give, and then we won't see things manifested.
Yes.
Look, you have to give God glory in everything that he does for you. And what are you saying? As you give God glory, he gives it back to you because it's a law. He's got to give you glory.
Hmm.
Not his glory, but he enhances your glory.
Praise God.
To fulfill what he's doing through you. There's a lot of people that say, oh, he's so anointing. He's so anointed. But how many people know that the anointing of God is the power of God for you to do exploits?
Yeah.
And it is God's power manifested in you to bring about God's glory. And then there are some that feel that they were anointed at a particular time to do a certain thing and give no glory to God. Be careful. Because the Lord said, I will not, my glory, I will not give to another. And if he don't give it, then you stealing it.
Hmm.
Now, what is that for? Is to bring about in you justification, sanctification, and glorification. When I was talking about the triple threat against the enemy, he does not want you to give God the glory because he knows it releases justification, sanctification, and glorification in your life.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
And I believe that's the way he's keeping away miracles in the church, because we tend to give glory to one another and give no glory to God.
Yes.
Oh, she sung gloriously. How about she sung gloriously under the power of God? Give him the glory.
Give him the glory.
So that he can enhance yours. Watch this. The enemy wants us to produce vain glory, to be into oneself goes against the process, watch this, of elimination. What are you eliminating? Eliminating everything that is not like God in my flesh and in my spirit and in my soul. For me to be vain, or for me to have self glorification, or think that I have done something, goes against the whole process, goes against the laws of God. And if I'm not eliminating the things that will keep me away from God, then how am I going to get closer to him? How am I going to be used by him? How am I going to fulfill what he's called me to do? I've got to give him the glory. I've got to give him the honor so that he might fulfill what he has made me for. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher.
Yes.
What God ultimately wants to do is bring you into his presence by you giving him glory. What do you go to church for? What are you coming to the sanctuary for if it's not to be in the presence of God? Well, to enter in, you must give him glory. And when you're giving him the glory, you're too busy to think about yourself. So what does God do? He enhances every gift. He enhances every fruit of the Spirit. He enhances your living. He enhances everything about you so that his glory might be manifested. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Bless his name. In all this, what are we teaching? You can't fulfill, manifest, or exhibit the glory of God without giving him the glory. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
My last point is in Ephesians. And then we're going to open up for some questions on this topic of glorification. It goes deeper than this. My mentor, Miles Monroe, quotes it like this. Man's purity is holiness. And we have fallen from that purity state because instead of running to holiness, we run away from it. If anybody has Ephesians, let's read this. Ephesians 11, 12, and 13.
Oh, my gosh.
What chapter?
Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11, 12, and 13.
I've got it.
Okay.
And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Yes.
What was the next one, Elder?
13, 11, 12, and 13.
Okay. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
The measure of the stature. Go ahead.
That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting.
And you know what keeps us from that? When we give God the glory and he enhances ours, what the Lord put in my spirit is glory has its own ministration. Glory has its own ministration. While you are manifesting glory, it's ministering on you. To take care of you, to add provisions to you, and assistance and care.
Yes.
One last scripture, and we'll open it up. 2 Corinthians 3, 7, we'll start with the 7th verse. We might skip a little. 2 Corinthians 3. God wants to bring you into an excelling glory. What do you mean by that? He wants your glory to excel. Excel over everything that would keep you away from coming into that perfect man. Now, when we speak of a perfect man, we're talking about growth. And remember back that when you talk about glory, you're talking about elevation. Elevation is growth. We are to move from glory
to glory.
Every glory that God gives back to you is an elevation. Oh, I hope you heard me. Every glory that God gives to you is an elevation. It's a growth. All the ministerial gifts that were given is to bring about your growth in God so that you can grow and prosper in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3. Anybody have it? Start with the seventh verse.
I have it.
Okay.
Let's see. 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts. Known
this is Paul. Go ahead.
Known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets or stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart.
So what Paul is telling them is that the very word of God is exhibited through you. And for excelling glory, this word of God has to get in you and make you and bring you to a place where it ministers to you. And as you give God glory,
yes,
He excels and enhances your glory. And it's all a part of ministry. Your growth and everyone around you's growth. Why do you say that? Because we're exhibiting and we're ministering and we're acting under the law of reciprocity. As we give it out, God's going to enhance it, and it comes right back to you.
Yes.
We live from glory to glory. Go ahead.
We were in 2 Corinthians 3.
2 Corinthians 3, yes.
And what verse again did you say?
We started at verse 7. It was Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And I brought that out to show you that what he was saying, I believe, was straight from God concerning the things that God is doing through them for the Corinthian church to build them up and to show forth God's glory through what they were doing. Do you see that in that scripture?
You're talking about the administration of death written in engraven stones and about Moses and Israel and how they couldn't look at Moses?
Well, because of the glory. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And this is what God wants to do with us, to bring us into a place where men look upon you, what is the scripture, but glorifies the Lord, which is where? In heaven. And this is only done as we give him glory, as we enter into his presence. Because what does the Bible say? In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand's pleasure forevermore. It's everything that's working for you and not against you. But the main point I want to get you to see is that this law of reciprocity works in this way, that as you give it, it's coming back to you and it's releasing things for you as well as others. As you are benefiting from God giving you glory and enhancing your glory, you are benefiting. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Doctor, the thing that I was looking at here was that ninth verse.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." And that just ties in what you were telling us mm-hmm. by doing the right thing, by giving God glory, and all the things that you mentioned in Galatians, the things of the Spirit, then the administration of it will exceed in glory, and God, that's where God gets the glory.
There you go. Amen. Thank you, Mother. That's where God gets the glory. Did we stop at the ninth verse? Actually, I had 7-12. Could we read that and then we'll just discuss the rest.
You want to read 7-12, Elder, yes, or 9 through?
9 through.
For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory.
Exceeds much more. Go.
For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech.
And what Paul was talking, go ahead.
Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ.
And all that was talking about the law being fulfilled, but it's fulfilled in us.
Yes, in us.
It's fulfilled in us. And I'd like to say that those that do not acknowledge God and do not acknowledge God's glory, they're losing out. They're losing out on a manifestation of God's glory in their church and in their house and on their jobs and being in the presence of God, because we're kind of blinded toward the things that God is doing because we're so absorbed with our surroundings.
Yeah.
What's happening in the midst of us? We don't even realize that as you give him glory, you're coming closer into where he is. But because where is God without his glory? He's where his glory is. You're entering into his presence. And he has got to perform because you're there. give him the glory, and he'll help you to live a glorious life. We will excel in glory as we give glory unto God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'm pretty finished. But if we have any questions toward that.
Elder, I think that was very well said, very well said, and that a scripture that says, seek me first his kingdom and his righteousness, that your soul prosper. And that is then giving God the glory.
Got to give it to him.
That enhances our relationship with God and with our growth.
Yes, it does.
It's like a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God. And he turns around and blesses us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just simple as that. We need to glorify God, glorify him, worship him.
Yes. Elder, we were created for God's glory.
Yes.
Why would the creation not give him glory if we were created for that fact?
That's right.
Oh, my God. How many people do you know that are lifting up someone else, lifting up a situation, lifting up their church,
mm-hmm.
giving everything glory but God?
But God.
How do you expect glory to return? That's why we're missing it.
And that right there, and that stagnates our growth in our church, where we are lifting up each other and giving the glory to each other instead of to God.
That's it. That's it. Now, he wants us to esteem one another because that's what we
and
do.
And appreciate one another, yes.
And appreciate one another and have, you know, have respect and have, you know, long-suffering and all of that because that's, you know, a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Giving God the glory enhances all of that. What do I mean by enhancing it? It makes it easy to do.
Right. It makes it easy to do.
It makes it easy to do. Why are we making it so hard? Go ahead.
Well, when you're giving God the glory, when you are lifting up another brother more than yourself, and these are the things that God wants you to do. Oh man, I had a thought, and it just kind of went away about honor, preferring one another. This is something that you want to do. This is the point that I wanted to get to make. And everything that you do, indeed. Whatever you do it in the name of the Lord, and that's how God gets the glory. Even though you may be telling the person something mm-hmm. to uplift them and to encourage them, but if you're doing it in the name of the Lord, as unto the Lord, that's mm-hmm. where the glory comes in.
Yeah.
And yet you're still honoring and preferring your brethren, you know, more than yourself. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, the scripture says, you which are spiritual, restore him. But if you do it as unto the Lord, that's how the glory of God comes back, the reciprocity that you were talking about earlier.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You know what? I'll take you back to where I think it's in Matthew, where the Lord was speaking about forgiveness, and Peter said, well, Lord, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody, you know? And you know what the Lord's answer was, 70 times 7, right? And we mathematically try to you know, say what that's all about. But actually, the Lord was trying to show Peter that what you're doing, Peter, is making this forgiveness, you're doing it, you know, as I forgive you, but what you're making forgiveness tolerable, more tolerable.
Mm-hmm.
What is he saying? The more you do it, you're making it more tolerable to forgive the next time.
Yes, it becomes easier.
It becomes easier. So don't stop doing it.
Right.
It's just like, Elder, when you're going through a trial,
mm-hmm.
and when that trial is lifted, you've made it through, and it's a while yet before another one comes. You can look back and say, if God did it then, he can do it now.
He can do it again. Yes.
He can do it again.
He can do it again. And Elder, do you know that that is extended glory? It's another level.
It's another level.
Yes. You don't stop going through levels. You don't stop going from glory to glory. Each glory is a new level. Bless the Lord. That's how we're growing. We're growing from glory to glory. And everything, and you know, some people will look at it and say, well, that's pretty easy. No, it's just what God is doing is saying, you're getting more like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He winks at our ignorance. And how tolerable is God with our foolishness?
Yes.
How tolerable is God with our foolishness?
And, you know, Elder, we have to be in the position to give God the glory because we can't come to him with an unclean vessel.
No, we can't.
The Spirit has to manifest within us.
Yes.
That we can give God the glory. We have
Amen.
To be a clean vessel.
Well, and the wonderful thing about glorification is that it's God's work. It's God's work in us as well, because he's working through us. And the thing it is, what he's doing, and this is what I'm taking from it, from my own, and I might be, you know, I don't know if anybody will agree with me or not, but I'm seeing it also as the glorification. First of all, it involves the believer's sanctification or moral perfection.
Yes.
And so to me, what is happening is God is almost giving us a glimpse of what is to come, because at the end of it, he said, we should not all sleep, but we should be changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye, so the mortals should take on immortality. But he is allowing us here on earth to have a glimpse of what that is going to be, because he's doing it here on earth. He's giving us the opportunity to see his glory here on earth, and then we'll be glorified with him later on.
There you go. Yes, ma'am, I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, on that, because it's like the walk of sanctification, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your body, the more you die down, the more the spirit increases.
That's it.
And then you're able to worship God and glorify him more, and then that comes back to you. And the more you become like Christ.
There you go. And what did the Bible say concerning Enoch? He was walking with God, and all the Bible says is he was not. He wasn't there no more.
He made it. He glorified himself out of here.
And that's what we're doing.
Because
one day you're going to look around, and we're going to be gone, and we will not. We were not.
We were not. Praise God.
Bless
so
the Lord.
He's giving you were giving the ingredients right now of growth into God's glory. And the more glory you give to God, the more he gives back to you, and the closer you're going to become like Jesus.
There you go. It's
and
really
go ahead.
It's really making me I take it personal. And it's making me look in retrospect at my life and what I'm doing.
Right.
And
right.
what God is doing through me. And I really felt a little guilty because I said, Lord, am I giving you enough glory?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I'm looking at myself and saying, Lord, I need to give you more.
Yeah.
Woo! Am I giving you enough? Every time I look back, I say, hey, wait a minute, I need to give him some more.
Praise God.
Ooh. And you know something else I thought about when you were teaching, when you were talking about Hebrews 12 and 2, where it talks about him being the author and the finisher of our faith. And I thought about
uh-huh.
that as an author, he has already written the story. He's already written the story. And as the finisher,
mm-hmm.
he's going to perfect it in that glorification
Ooh.
Thing. So when we have that final glory, that's when the perfection for us will come.
There you go. Yes, ma'am.
And he's already done it. God has already finished with the work. We're just walking it out.
Mm-hmm.
Walking it out. And trust
well, you know, that reminds me like Elijah and Enoch. It's
mm-hmm.
no way they could have walked they were no longer here unless they had come to that end of glorification, that they were filled with the power of God.
There you go. Yes, ma'am.
He couldn't take them up in a vessel that was not prepared.
There you go.
So we do have the possibility of being like Enoch.
Yes, we do. And preparation is right here.
Right here. I mean,
and
it's
right
now. Yes, you gotta push back that flesh. Like Paul
right
said,
here,
I'm gonna
right
do good, evil is there.
Right here, right now. So I tell everyone, do a self-examination. Make sure God is getting the glory out of everything you do.
Yes.
Because that's only enhancing your glory and God giving you, woo, taking you to another level.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Elder Bryce, what do you think about this? What do you think about this?
I think it's just so much we can dive into and continue on, and so we will. It's just been good. And what I'm so excited about in these lessons that we've been teaching, especially in this one right here, because this takes us to a different aspect or a different place when you really think about it. When you really think about glorification, it's taking us to a place where we're almost getting ourselves prepared for that time to make this switch. So we know that we have, like you said, it's we got to really crucify our flesh on a daily basis so that we can really be in the place where God wants us to be so that we can participate in his glory.
Amen. Because you got to be a participant.
Yeah.
You got to be. And we can accelerate that by glorifying God, you know.
Yeah.
Because
that's
those
where
situations.
Our deliverance and our liberty even continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kelly, if I can add some while I hear you talking about God's glory, the different aspect, the part of it where he gave us ability, and if we do not appropriate the ability that he gave us, that's not giving him glory. Because there's a reason he gave us. You cannot take a candlestick hiding under the bushel on a basket. So that's the first aspect. And then the other aspect of the glory that it comes from him. So he wants us to take that and utilize whatever he gave us, because if we don't utilize it, it doesn't reflect glory to him. So for example, if Moses did not agree to go, then the nation of Israel, nation of Egypt, the empire wouldn't have seen the type of glory.
There you go.
The 10 plagues and all that God was displaying his glory then. Then I guess another aspect of glory is where, because you talk about the law of reciprocity, and whatever you do comes back to you.
Yes.
Good, bad, whatever you do work for you. It also works for God, wherever you do work, because you said something, it's just not about you, it's just not about, it's not about God alone, but you and God. It works for you, it works for him.
Yes, it does.
It's an exchange. Wherever you do, brings glory
exchange.
To God, and whatever you do brings glory to you. He wants us to be that way. And then at the same time, because he's God and he gave you those abilities, you should always acknowledge the one who gave you the ability, or else it's robbery, because you talk about the law, the way things work, because by law, you did not create that. He created
that. No, you did not.
So by law, you cannot rob him of certain things. By law, being that he gave that to you, you have to give it back to him. And in return, it keeps on building and building and building you up, building you up, building you up. So I think it's a very powerful teaching, because what you've been saying, I've been studying something, some other things these few days, and especially relating to the law of the law of attraction. Ralph Waldo Emerson that talked about how that there's this system with the way things work, that whatever you do comes back to you, be it good or bad. And one of the things we ought to learn is that when we see certain violations, he says by nature, if that violation is not amended for, I don't care how long it takes, justice will be served. And,
yes,
and that's just how the world is built. And that's just how the world functions.
Right.
So I really enjoyed the teaching, because you don't know what I myself been studying, but it just relates to a lot of things personally that I've been studying. And it's a very powerful teaching.
You know, I want to say this, you know, this is just my saying, is that in life, you know, when you plant a garden and the good things you plant, you know, they come back to you, and the bad things, you know, they come back in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever good thing you plant, you know, some way it'll come back. Might not be through that person, but through someone else. To give a prime example is I was at the store in line, and a lady didn't have enough money to pay for her food, right? So I said, well, I'll take care of it. I didn't know that it was more than I thought it was. But since I had said that, I really hadn't paid for it. And in my mind, I say, you know, well, it's a good thing, and God will bless. He'll return that back. Last week I was at the store. I didn't have enough money. The lady behind me said, I'll pay for it.
Oh, my. See that?
I said, I'll pay for it. I just said, gosh. And that wasn't maybe 4 or 5 months. And the instant she did it, I thought about that day in the store.
See,
I said, well, can I have your address and I'll send you? She said, no. No.
Whoa. Don't make her miss her blessing.
That's right. Don't make her miss her blessing. I said, no. But let me ask you this.
Yes, ma'am.
When you have a sickness in your body, or you have a loved one that's going through something, are we to glorify in that situation? How would you do that? How would you come with that? For instance, if you had a sickness in your body, and you say, Lord, I glorify you in this, or are you coming to him for touch my body and heal me?
This is the thing, Elder, that I do, and I said this once before. I said, we believe in deliverance.
Yes.
We believe in healing.
Yes.
We believe in restoration.
Yes.
We believe in the power of God.
Yes.
So we got to go on what we believe.
Yes.
We to glorify God for the healing when we don't see it.
Yes.
Because we trust him.
Glorify him for the healing.
Yes.
Glorify him for the release of our loved ones that's lost.
Glorify him for release. We glorify him for release. We glorify him for healing. We glorify him for restoration. We glorify him for renewal, because that's what we believe.
Yes.
Elder, you remember how you talk about the fruit of the Spirit?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And do you know, although for us we know a lot of things, but a lot of times we don't apply. Do you know how we talk about law and how things work? Because everything God built, he built into it. Healing mechanism.
Yes, he did.
It's summer, winter,
I agree.
The trees, the limbs fall, summer comes, it grows back.
It does.
Doctors and scientists are even proving this by people who practice certain law of positivity, just positive mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes heal quicker.
Yes.
You know, so even when we look at scripture, when Jesus says has faith, it's a law. So by nature, if you do certain things, the law has to respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
It's a law. Because most times when people said, Jesus said, because of your faith, you shall have this. Because there's a principle that you understood, that law
mm-hmm.
has to repay you.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who are successful and are not necessarily Christian, but they have
yeah.
tapped into certain things for years and understand certain principles.
Yes,
and
they operate in that same principle.
The same
mm-hmm.
principle, and as a result, the yielding are so much result from what they do. And I think one of the things as Christian we ought to think about is that the way God built the world and the way he instructs us, we ought to be careful. Because when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean God will make you do things.
No.
But God will work along with you as you move.
Mm-hmm.
And as
yes.
you have the ability to think and to apply certain principles, God
mm-hmm.
will then work along with you, and you will begin to see things changing and growth and development.
Yes.
Because
yes.
God didn't make us where he thinks for us. We have to think. If you think about
mm-hmm.
it, in the garden, he made the garden. He put two trees and instructed them how to operate in the garden. It was up to them to use their thinking faculty.
Yes, sir.
Because they didn't. If you notice, when the enemy was talking to them, God came nowhere. God did not. God had given them instruction and knew he built in them, and it was there to do what's right or what's wrong.
There you
and
go.
Because they did not follow certain principles and certain laws, they fell short. And that's what happened to us a lot, even sometimes with sicknesses, with diseases, with finances. I think there are principles that we don't tap into. And we don't connect ourselves to enough, because whatever you do becomes part of you. And it becomes
yeah,
a rhythm.
Yeah.
There's this theory of, you know, habit rhythm force. They got all kinds of theory out there. Cosmic habit force.
Oh, yeah.
And that if you do something long enough, it becomes part of you and it becomes part of your flow. If you are
yeah.
negative long enough, it becomes part of you. It becomes part of your flow. And if we think about
yeah.
it, this is exactly what Scripture is teaching. As a
mm-hmm.
man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Paul said, think of these things, whatsoever are good and lovely. Why
there
are you saying that? Because if you do that by nature and spiritual laws, you will be successful and you will tap into the greater realm of the Spirit
mm-hmm.
and of God. And therefore glorifying God by producing and being very, very productive. And I think people are even Bishop Jakes. Those are some of the things they have tapped into. Certain people, they have tapped into certain principles and certain laws. Many great men. And I think we ought to do the same. Even the idea of just you know, living and dying and going to heaven. We got to study the scripture keenly, because that's not what Christ is saying. If I come that you may have life and life more abundantly.
Abundantly.
Because the life of God and eternal life doesn't start in heaven when we go. It's here.
Hey.
Eventually, it transition in heaven. But if we think about it, isn't Christ coming back to reign not in heaven but in the earth?
Mm-hmm.
So as you teach this man of God, this is so powerful. And that's something, like I said, personally, I've been studying these things personally and been applying certain principles that I noticed that I didn't clearly think about to apply.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started to do that, I began to see some changes.
Ooh.
And certain changes, because you have to apply God's principle consistently, and it becomes part of you.
That's right.
About people who have certain attitude or talk a certain way, the mouth don't do nothing. You said something, man of God, you talk about people's attitude and emotion. Anybody who master their emotion, master life.
Yes, they do.
Anybody who master their emotion, master life. And it will cause us to be highly successful. And I think what you're teaching, I hope many people are listening, because, man of God, it is so powerful. It is so powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
Glorification is the key.
I tell you, time goes so fast, and we are at the end of the broadcast, and we still would like to invite those that don't know Christ in the pardon of their sins. We invite you to come into the family. And I would love for Elder Dawson to do that invitation, and then I would love for Elder Russell to pray us out. And then we will be back here this same time next week, and we will be moving on. I mean, we'll put out there what our topic will be, because we're coming to the end of this particular series, the foundation series. And so we will talk about that some more. But I just would love for you to offer Christ and do an invitation to Christ, and then have Elder Russell to do our final prayer. And we will see you all back here next week.
All right. If you are on the line and you do not know Christ, we would like for you to say this prayer. Lord, I am a sinner, and I repent of my sins. I proclaim and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he rose from the dead. And by the shedding of blood, he washed away my sins. Now, Jesus, come into my heart and fill me with the Holy Spirit. I give my life to you. I want and I am saved. And if you have prayed this prayer, please go to a Bible-believing church and a Bible-teaching church, that they may fulfill the laws of God in your spirit and in your soul and in your heart. Amen and amen.
Amen. Father, today we thank you for this glorious message, oh God. But much need for our soul, oh God. Would help us, oh God, get close to you, oh God, and to know you the more, Father. We pray, Father, for those that are out in the audience, oh God, to hear the word, Father. Eat on the word, Father, and understand that word today, God. Father, for you say your word does not go out void. And we agree today that word will not go out void, Father, because we want to grow in you. We want to glorify you, that we can be glorified to be more like your Son, Jesus, God. We thank you for this time of coming together, Lord Jesus, to study your word and talk about your word, God. What a glorious time, God. A glorious time, Father. We ask you, O Heavenly Father, that you bless each one of us today, God. Let us take these nuggets today, oh God, and eat on these nuggets with me, God. Understand them even more and apply them in our hearts, in our daily living, Father. But, oh, God, help us to decrease, Father. Help us to pull away from this old world, Father, of destruction, Father. To God, that we may be closer to you, that we may walk with you, oh, God, and know you the more, Father. That we may hear your voice, Father. See in the spiritual realm, Father. Know, God, know, Father, that you're with us, Father. Father, there is no other God like you, and no other God we want to serve, Father, but you, oh God. Help us, oh God, to maintain that great and powerful unity with you, Father. And today, oh Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory this day. Bless each one that's on this line. And especially bless our speaker today, God, who brought us such a fine word, Father. And we give you and you only the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. So we thank everybody for participating today. Thank Elder Dawson, Elder Russell, and Mr. Henry, and all of those that were on the line, Elder Timberlake, and Elder Poston, and Sister Phyllis Dawson. We thank all of you all that was on the line and participated in the ministry today. And we just ask God's blessings upon each and every one of you. And so we thank you all, and we will see you all here again next week on The Prospering Soul. God bless you.
All right. God bless.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all.